and looking at doing work in missions with SEND. Mm-hmm. And it's a pleasure to have you here this morning.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Doug.
I look forward to hearing what you have to say.
Thank you. My name is Todd Johnson. I think I'm actually stealing my wife's part here as we're going through this. But I am just going to take a brief moment and set some things up here. We want to thank you so much for having us here this morning. We are particularly thankful that we can share with you a small part of our missional journey, that we are able to fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, whether it be in Wetaskiwin Mission Church just north of here, whether it be in Faith Community Church in Black Falls, or whether it be in Timbuktu. It's always a pleasure to take and meet with the Bride of Christ and to take and spend some time in God's Word together. So we are the Johnson family. We're a very small portion of the greater Johnson family. If you look in the Wetaskiwin phone book, it's about 2 pages of Johnsons, but we aren't even in there, so we make up a very small portion. I'm Todd. This is my wife, my bride of 14 plus years, Becky, and our 3 daughters. Our oldest daughter, Amory, who is 9, Spia, Miss Smiley, she's 7, and our youngest, the spinning top in our family, Kiri, who is 5. As I said, we are from the Wetaskiwin area. We attend the Wetaskiwin Mission Church. I am a journeyman carpenter. My wife, Becky, is a stay-at-home mom. We are a homeschooling family. We are a homeschooling family that is trying to bring the average down. Not your typical homeschooling family. We don't have 8 children. So,
so we're gonna take you through a bunch of different stuff today, really quickly. The first thing we're gonna touch on is our missional call. So, it was 2008. I was very pregnant with child number 1, and we had a conversation. Todd wanted to be a pastor, and I said, "No way," which is funny because it's basically the same thing. But we had no idea what our journey would look like, but we knew that God had placed it on our hearts and that he was asking us to trust him, trusting him to show us the what, the where, the when, the why of his plan. We had no preconceived notions about what it is that he wanted us to do. And in the years that followed, he used circumstances, he used friends, he used paper resources, he used video resources. We went on a vision trip. He used other missionaries to help us clearly see his vision for us and to mold, shape, and refine us as individuals, as a family, and ultimately as Christ followers. Similarly minded friends and resources such as, I don't know if you've ever heard of Operation World, or what was the other one? The frontline missions dispatches from the front videos, excellent videos if you're even remotely interested in missions, really great resource to check out. They were influential, those things were influential in us hearing about and being drawn to the Albanian people. And others that we came across in the years since 2008, hearing of our intentions and learning of Todd's gifts with hands-on trades, so carpentry, mechanics, that kind of stuff, nudged us towards the coast of our Albanians just because that's the kind of stuff that's sort of happening right now as they rebuild. In May of 2013, Todd, Kiri, and I got on the plane at the Edmonton International for a grand 20-plus hour adventure. I don't know if you've done international travel, but I tell you, I learned a lot that trip. And it landed us in Pristina, Kosovo. We were so excited to see how God was moving in this part of the world.
In the 10 days that we were there, we were able to experience so much. We were able to visit the mountainside camp where a couple from, I believe, Idaho. I always get it mixed up, either Idaho or Iowa.
Iowa.
So, yeah. we were able to visit with them, see what they've been doing over there, see the work that they've been doing over there, and the many phases of the, or see the camp that has been in construction for, I would say, it would be necessary to say many years, since early 2000s, actually almost about as long as we've been married. So, but while still being used, so this camp is still in construction, but they're still using it. They have the opportunity to take and host many churches from the Albania in this camp, also along with many outreach activities, bringing the people, the Kosovar people, to the camp to teach them skills, teach them trades, teach them about the gospel, most importantly.
And I'm just going to interject here because in September, I keep in touch with the couple that we are going over to come alongside with there. And I received a message from Pam, that's the wife, and she was telling me that the local schools in Paya actually wanted to come up to the camp to be able to use it. So 100 plus kids who know nothing about the gospel got an introduction. And so that was a big praise item. That was amazing. So we were talking about the camp, and so they build with concrete.
Concrete
there, and so the main building, which has been dubbed the Blessing House. So these were pictures that we took when we were there. I think it's moved along a little bit since we were there last. It has a kitchen, and not what we would consider a kitchen, but it has a kitchen. Two floors designated for male and female guests, so separate, and an additional floor between the male and female floors, which was being considered for a library space.
The camp season typically runs from May to October, with much preparation occurring during the time the gates open. There's a lot of construction that is needing to be done on the camp. Some of that before the camp season starts. Also maintenance. There's the vision for this camp is beyond anything that I could ever comprehend. Not only is it to be a place to share the gospel, but for schools to take and bring kids, to take and for adults living in a culture that has been devastated by war to learn skills that will help them to provide an income for their family, to have a mechanics or a construction shop also at the camp where men or can learn small engine repair, how to take and build furniture, things like that. And this will be the main. Sorry, I'm trying to take and make sure that people can see slides. I can see slides, but also to speak to you. So this will be the main area that we will be working is with the construction, maintenance, discipleship, and relationship building through those. Through that camp season. Then, in the off season, in the camp season, there are interns coming to help, lots of help coming to take in to work at the camp. In the off season, I'm stealing my wife's stuff.
You're totally stealing my part.
but there's a good opportunity for me to back up here. I'll let you take it.
All right. So since we've talked about the camp, we're also going to talk about a building in town that they call the center. And it is, we stayed there when we went on our vision trip. And it is a street full of coffee bars and outdoor cafes. It was loud all night. That's what the young people do there is they very late into the evening. They drink a lot of coffee there. But anyways, the center, the main floor is used for hosting large groups of people for meals, visiting, and some of the different language and study initiatives. The second floor has living quarters that is used for the short-term missionaries and others that come to visit the Zelmers, which is the couple that we are going to come alongside with and help at the camp. Would you like to say this now?
I would love to.
Okay. Excellent.
So during the winter, our focus will be on the people in the city. This is the opportunity to do follow-up with individuals who have been introduced to the gospel out at the camp, to engage others in the community through visits and coffee, group meetings such as Bible studies, conversational English. That's going to be my wife's. Just to give you a little bit of background, my wife is an English major. I'm a country boy major, so there's a. When it comes to the English, she takes the lead. Conversational English classes and baking time with teen girls, and just day-to-day interaction. Our first year will involve practical language learning. It is a dialect of Albanian that we have to learn. There are two different dialects of Albanian. There is Albanian Geg and there's Albanian Shkop. We have to learn a dialect of Albanian Geg. So not only is Albanian Geg a dialect, but there are 18 different sub-dialects. So it has to be learned in country. We can do some training here to take and learn the basics of that language, but most of our language learning or acquisition will be in country.
Okay, so not only will we be trying to learn a different language, but we're also going to be trying to create a new home from scratch, trying to connect with people and a culture that are deeply wounded and distrustful. The scars from the war have left the people, especially the older generations, willing to hear about Jesus, but as of yet, most of them unwilling to accept him for themselves. Do you want to do that or do you want me to do it?
I can do it.
Okay.
We are pleased to be coming alongside Keith and Pam Zelmer. They are a couple serving with Send International out of the U.S. office. In Kosovo, through various avenues in our missional journey, SIND came to the forefront of our research for a sending organization. Actually, part of it from Keith. Mm-hmm. It was his direction that led us that way. Sorry, I'm fiddling with this thing and getting caught. They began as the Far Eastern Gospel Crusade. So this is a little bit about SEND. Began as the Far Eastern Gospel Crusade, which grew out of the GI Gospel Hour during World War II. Joined forces with Central Alaskan Mission in 1971. So Doug, I believe that's what we were talking about this before. And became SEND International in 1981. As an interdenominational evangelical organization, their mandate is to support the missionaries sending church. SEND International doesn't send missionaries, the church sends missionaries. Guiding and supporting over 500 global missionaries and to pursue the mission of mobilizing God's people to engage the unreached, to establish reproducing churches. We encourage you, Doug's standing in front of it right now, but to take a look. We have brochures, we have information about SEND, we have information about ourselves sitting on the table over there, and we'd love to talk to each and every one of you just to get to know who you are.
And we're staying for potluck, so that means everyone has to come say hi at least once. We'll be watching for you. Thank you for your time. Now Todd's going to bring you God's word. How do I turn off? Okay. And do you want this?
I love being disorganized in front of people. It teaches us humility. Well, I want to say again, it's a privilege to be here. Can I just go right in? Okay. It's a privilege to be with you here this morning as we worship God together now. You've heard a little bit about what Becky and I are anticipating with going overseas, going to Kosovo, moving our family there. You might have noticed that part of our presentation covered four of the five W's for, this is my English, this is about the extent as to how far it goes. The who, the what, the why, the where, when, and the where. Wow. But you'll notice that we didn't cover some of the why. We covered the who, which is the Albanian people. The what is a camp ministry and discipleship. The where in city of about 200,000 to 250,000 people in Kosovo that has one evangelical church. And the when. The when is now. We are going around. We are looking to raise a support team that we can go, that we can head over there and be part of the work that God is doing, the work that He has called us to do. But we intentionally left out the why, because it's in the why. It's simply because it's in God's Word that we get the opportunity to share about the why. Why we are packing up our family, why we are moving to a different part of the world, why we are traveling to different churches and meeting with different people to find those whom God has called to be a part of our team to bring the gospel to the Albanian people. Our text this morning is going to be in 1 John 4:13-16. And for those who are going to be following along while you're turning there, I want to do a little bit of a visualization exercise. Don't worry, you don't have to close your eyes. That was the one thing I always disliked. But I want you to think of something that you love, and not just kind of love, but something that you really love. So this might be a person, object, or pastime. And once you have it there, I want you to just hold on to it for a little while, and we're going to come back to it. Now, if you were to ask me about what my favorite book of the Bible is, I would have to say it's 1 John, mainly because of the way this book has changed who I am. From merely saying that I'm a Christian to examining my life against God's Word. I often refer to 1 John as the Christian self-test. Now, this is not to say that the Bible doesn't speak anywhere else about what the marks of a Christian are. Actually, in Paul speaks very, very specifically about the marks of a Christian. But First John, in the epistle of First John, we have the opportunity to see John paint for us a picture, a very clear picture of the evidences of our salvation. And he does this through both positive and negative statements. We see this through the book in phrases such as, and so we are, or but does not. Or as we'll see here shortly, the phrase, by this we know, to draw attention to a few. So without further ado, 1 John 4, verses 13-16, we'll read them and then we'll pray. So, by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So, we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and God abides in him. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Let's pray. Holy Father, we come before you this morning with humble hearts. Father, you know me. You have searched me out. And Father, I pray that this morning as we spend this time in your word, that you would seek each one of us out. Father, that you would soften our hearts to your word, that we would hear and believe, and Father, that we would also act upon what your word has called us to do. Father, I pray for your spirit to be upon me this morning, to give me peace, give me clarity. Father, that I would not leave anyone confused, but Father, that you would speak clearly through me. Father, we pray that as we open your word this morning, that you would teach us, that you would show us what it is that you are teaching us through John in this epistle. And we pray these things in your holy name. Amen. If we back up a little bit in to verse 7, and actually verses 7 through 12, John gives us a synopsis of love. In verse 7 and 8, we read that love is from God. Verse 9, that love was manifested in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, that love was initiated by God. Verses 11 and 12, the outward reciprocation of that love. Through this, John gives us an understanding of God's love as he leads us into verse 13. Verse 13 again, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Excuse me. In this verse, we see God's love for us through the indwelling of his Spirit. Now, this is the same Spirit that Jesus promises to the disciples in John 14, 16, and 17. Just to read them quickly, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. John talks a lot about the Spirit of God. It's amazing when you think of this man who wrote the Gospel of John, wrote the epistles of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and also had the privilege of writing Revelation, that this was one of the sons of thunder. To see the transformation that came about in this man as a man with zeal, a man that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's a recounting of he and his brother James asking for Jesus to sit at Jesus' right hand and left hand. I guess I got that backwards, right and left. So, and to see the transformation that came in this man through the Spirit of God. John 14, 26, he is the helper whom God will send to teach and bring remembrance to all that Christ has taught. In John 15, 26 and 27, he is the Spirit of truth, proceeding from the Father, bearing witness about Christ, so that we also can bear witness about Christ. So again, verse 13 of 1 John 4, by this we know that we abide in him, because he has given us of his Spirit. Then verse 14, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. John actually opens up this epistle the same way. If we look back to chapter 1, we read in the first four verses, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. So there's, it's important for us to take and see these two, see the resemblance of these two passages, to see in verse 4, or chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, the resemblance of chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. But there is a distinct difference between these two passages. Here in chapter 1, John is actually affirming his apostolic eyewitness to the physical reality of Jesus coming in the flesh. He was there. He saw it. Verse 1, we seen with our eyes, looked upon, touched with our hands. But in chapter 4, it's a continuation. We have to realize that verse 14 is a continuation of verse 13. Notice the "and" at the beginning of verse 14. "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world." So as we have been given of the Spirit of God in verse 13, these things have also been revealed to us that we are also able to testify that God has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world, verse 14, and hopefully for the same joy that was being made complete in the lives of the apostles and also those hearing the gospel. Verse 15, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God." I want to draw your attention to the word "confess." If we look back in back to verse 2 of this chapter, so 1 John 4, verse 2, we see the same word used to used for the testing of the spirits. Verse 2, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." According to Strong's Greek lexicon, the Greek verb used here is homologeo. And the meaning is to confess or profess, acknowledge, agree, admit, or declare. I say this because it's important for us to understand that this is not a private confession, but a public confession. And in making the connection with verse 2, it helps to support the phrase, "By this we know," that we saw at the beginning of verse 13. Because it becomes clear that it's not possible for us to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God unless God has given us of his Spirit. Paul states in the latter part of 1 Corinthians 12:3, "No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." So it's through the Holy Spirit that we are equipped to confess, and I'll also say testify to the salvation in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Verse 16. "So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." In chapter 2 of this book, verse 15 and 17, John speaks of a worldly love, the desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and worldly possessions. As Christians, we have the assurance of knowing that we are loved by God, not a worldly love, but agape love, in the fact that we are able to love. We are able to reciprocate the love that has been given to us. And this is a self-sacrificing giving of ourselves, pouring out type of love, something that sends us to our brothers and sisters, sends us to to our enemies. Because we love them. We want them to know about God. We want them to know about Jesus Christ. And it causes us to take and not get so bent on our own agenda. A love that reconciles us to one another. Verse 20 of chapter 4. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who loves his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Just before I began, I asked you to think of something that you love. And I know each one of you can. I remember when I met my wife, I couldn't stop talking about her. I still can't stop talking about her. But I want to ask this question. Is it possible for us to love something and never talk about it? Never talk about that person or object, whatever it is. Or how about this question? Is it possible for us to not reciprocate a love that has been shown to us? When you think of the love of God, what do you think of? Back in verses 7 and 9, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Verse 9, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Each one of us who have received that gift is now an ambassador for that gift. We are the means by which God is giving that gift to the world. To hear that a lady came in off the street and asked for a biker's Bible. She's receiving the word of God. To work in our community. Romans 10:14 again. How will they call on him whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Whether it be in our homes, our neighborhood, the workplace, or across the globe, each of us has been equipped through God giving us of his Spirit to share the gospel in whatever context we are placed. As parents, we have a mission field right in our own home. We have our children whom God has given to us to teach the gospel to. For those of us who work, God has given us the opportunity to share Christ with those whom we work with. For those of us who walk down the street, does anybody here walk down the street? We have the opportunity to reflect the joy that has been given to us. And I hope that there's joy. I began with saying that I like to refer to John, 1 John, as the Christian self-test. This book, as God started to do a work in our lives, in my life specifically, was instrumental. I'm not saying that John is the only book that I, 1 John is the only book that I like to read in the Bible. Our family has just finished going, or is finishing up going through the Psalms. And the poetry and music that really just causes you to step back and say, wow, I wish I could talk to God that way. But this book brought conviction upon my life. It caused me to change the person who I was. so that through my life I could glorify God, because he's worthy of my praise. He's worthy of my adoration and the witness of my life to his glory. I think I'm still on time. I know that there's still songs. But I want to leave you with the thought of this. How much do we love God? And how much do others know that we love God? Or better yet, how much do other people know that God loves us? Let's pray. Father, as we have spent time in your word this morning, we know that this is only a small portion of 1 John that we have spent time looking at. But we pray, Father, that you would take and use this as a catalyst that would draw us into your word. Father, that we would take and seek you out, that you would be glorified in our lives. And Father, that we would take and seek after your will. Father, that your Spirit would direct us in such a way that we would know what you have called us to do. Father, I pray that your people would not misunderstand me, that you have not called each and every one of us to go across the globe. You have appointed some of us to be ambassadors of your Son in our homes, in our communities, some to be pastors, and Father, that everybody would do whatever job, whatever task that you have given to them for your glory and your honor. I thank you for this opportunity to be here in Black Falls this morning with this church. And we pray for your peace to be upon us. Father, that we would go out as ambassadors of your Son, the bride of Christ, drawing in whom you have called to be part of the bride of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.